I'm just going to continue today talking about what we began to talk about last week, about Christ being formed in us. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go online and listen to that podcast or watch the archive of the live stream video, if you can stand it, and see what we talked about, because it was an important message. I began by sharing how I told my little story about how I had kind of undergone some structural changes myself. How if you'd asked me, you know, a year ago, if somebody walked in the room and said, everybody in here who can do push-ups, stand up, then I would have just held onto my seat because I knew I couldn't do any and never had been able to do any. Not real ones, you know, I could do the kind, the girly kind, but not the real ones. Up on your toes, you know, full body up and down, couldn't do that. And I tried, and it was just, I was too weak to do it. But one thing I've discovered in the last several months is that actually I have everything it takes to do full body push-ups. I just hadn't developed it. But I've spent a little time developing it, and now I can. Praise God. So even you can, if you got those muscles and they can be developed and you can do them too. And so I just talked about how we are capable of so much more than what we give ourselves credit for, than what we even imagine, what we think of. It's just our own limitations we place on ourselves that have kept us from the fullness of everything God has for us. And when we were born again, when we received Jesus into our lives, He came in us, and He came in us not just to leave us the way that we were, but He came in us to change us. And we became, the Bible says, new creations. And that new creation, no matter how much you've learned about who you are in Christ, you really haven't even approached the fullness of what it means to be in Christ. And Paul prayed in Galatians. He talked about how he travailed in prayer for the church and for that church and for, I believe, all the churches, for the believers that he had an impact on, that Christ would be formed in them, that he would begin to take shape. Because the ultimate goal, we are his followers, we are his disciples. And a disciple is one who follows and studies and learns and you know, is in close proximity of the one who's discipling them for the purpose of being just like the teacher. So that you can do and what the teacher does, you can, you know, have the same skills, you can have the same power, you can have the same actions. So you begin to be just like the teacher. And that's really our goal as believers. I know maybe some of you, that's kind of a strange idea. You think I can be like Jesus? I thought I was just, you know, supposed to be a worm and then, you know, just appreciate everything God's done for me, but recognize how unworthy that I myself am and that I can never be like God. But, you know, the reality is He wants us to be like Him. He's the one who's made it possible for us to be like Him. One thing I often complain to Pastor Nate about is how so many songs that we sing, even that we sing, and I understand the way that you can sing them. We sing this song, we sing this a lot, even in songs we sing, there is none like you, there is no one like you. And I understand that. I mean, God is God and we're not. But it doesn't take a lot of faith for me to sing, there is none like you. Honestly. How about for you? Didn't mean to get on this, it just came out of nowhere, Nate. And so, but the reality is, it takes a lot more faith to say, we are just like you. And that's the revelation of the reality of being in Christ. Not that we're God, but we're made in His image and likeness, and that He has come within us by His very own Spirit in order to change and transform us so that we would be just like Him. And the scripture even says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. That's the goal. And then 1 John, it says that Jesus is our example, that He's the model that we're all looking at. And it's not a pretend, imaginary, wink, wink, we're supposed to be like Jesus. It's the reality. It's possible. You guys, it's possible for mere mortals like you and me to be like Jesus. Because He has come within us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that came upon Jesus there at the River Jordan, the same Spirit that was within Him is within us. It is the Spirit of the living God. Not because of you, but because of Him and what Jesus did for us in making us right with God by pouring out His blood, being a sacrifice for our sins, our sin nature. He sacrificed Himself for us, gave His life because our life was due. Our life should have been poured out. But He poured His life out for us so that we could be born again, made new in His likeness and image. And now our job as believers is to grow up into Him and to manifest Him in this earth, to represent Him, to be His ambassadors, to go around doing what He did, being in this world Him. As He is, so are we in this world. This is Bible verses. You may not have known that. And so I know most, I'm just going to be honest with you, most believers, our idea of Christianity is a code of ethics, moral behavior, a checklist, some things we're supposed to be doing, and this makes us a Christian. It involves attending church every now and then, you know, saying our prayers before we eat, you know, these kinds of things. But that is not what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian means that we are no longer who we used to be. We are new people. And we have a whole new life. A life that follows the outlines that we see here. Follows what's written. This is a Bible, by the way. That's written in here. You're going, on the internet? No, in the Bible. It follows this, the instructions and, you know, everything it says in here. And a life of fellowship with God, manifesting Him in this earth, just like Jesus Himself were still on the earth. That's the deal. I tell you, that's a lot more exciting. That's a lot better than just trying to, you know, keep the rules. I don't know about you. I'm pretty sorry at keeping the rules. In fact, I got this problem that whenever I see a rule, you know, some of you, you want to know, tell me what's expected of me so I can do it. That's like the last thing I want to know. Honestly, once you start telling me there's just something about me, I'm like, I got to do it a little different. Just don't even start telling me, and I might end up doing the right thing. But once you start telling me, I don't know what that is. Some of you might think it's rebellion. I don't know. Evidently, Mama, you didn't beat that out of me enough. I don't think she beat me at all now that I think about it. That was the problem. But, you know, there is that part of us that we just... We rebel against the law. That is the flesh nature. But I tell you, even spiritually, it's not God imposing these things on us. It's God empowering us. It's not Him. It's Him. It's completely different. Completely different. And I can't help but mention this because so much of my life has been spent doing this. This is also not the way you parent your kids. This is the way you parent your children. Okay, just had to mention that. Now, we're talking about Christ being formed in you. I'm not going to go over what I did last week because it'll take the whole service. But, you know, a long time ago, Matt and I gave up building a church. When we first started Good News Church, we were going to build a church. And we pursued that for a while, didn't do too good at it. And so we finally figured out that wasn't even what God called us to do. He didn't call us to build a church. The Bible says He will build His church. He called us to build people. So that's really what we've devoted, especially the last 10, 12 years to, is to building people, the building Christ in people. Now, it's not something we can do in and of ourselves, obviously, but there are some components that go into, there are some essential elements to Christ being built in your life, and we can offer you those. And this morning, I'm just going to continue to offer you something that's very essential to Christ being formed in you, for God and His Spirit to work in your life. There are some things that you have to do to cooperate. It's not an automatic thing. If it was automatic, we wouldn't even need to be here. We'd be out turning the world upside down. It's not automatic. It's something that we give our attention and our time to, something we submit ourselves to, yield ourselves to. And it's this process of transformation. And it's the Holy Spirit working in us. And really, there's two primary things that are required. One is the Word of God. The Word of God, and that's before any and all things, the Word of God. We have to know what the Word says. The Word is our life. The Word is the fuel. The Word is the food for our spirits. The Word is what we, if we don't have it, we have nothing. So it all comes from that. But then there is this other side, and that's what I emphasized last week, and I'm going to continue with today. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's these two things. And so I talked about last week, that one of the best things that you can do for Christ to be formed in you, to cooperate with God's plan to manifest Jesus in your life, one of the very best things you can do is to pray in the Spirit. We talked about that last week. Now, I know it's not really popular in the modern American church to talk about praying in the Spirit from the pulpit. Even churches that are Spirit-filled churches, they usually talk about it in a small room or in a Bible study or in kind of a smaller gathering, because it kind of freaks people out when you talk about a subject like this, praying in the Spirit, which is otherwise known as praying in other tongues. How many of you have heard of that? Now, some of you, maybe if it's your first Sunday, I just need to go ahead and be upfront with you. You're sitting in a room full of people, most of whom speak in other tongues. I mean, like hikimoshundai kind of stuff. You know what I mean? This, like, you know, and most of us look pretty normal. We do have Frank over here, but most of us look pretty normal. I'm teasing the big guy. Praise God. Now, you know, the whole thing about praying in tongues, the more I understand it, the more insight I get, the more revelation, I understand more and more why the enemy has fought this in the church. And why it's a truth that's been really stolen from a large part of the body of Christ. And why even people that have the revelation of it seem kind of like putting it on the back burner. You know, I have an acquaintance might be a better way to put it. An acquaintance who went to one of the most prominent Spirit-filled Bible colleges in the world. And he grew up in that ministry, and then he became a director for that in his region of the country. And then some things happened, and he got disappointed with the leadership and some of the people, and some of the things happened, and he kind of backed off from that way of ministry. And I understand. But we were with him one day, and he was telling us about his staff, and he had just hired an associate pastor. And his associate pastor was not even baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm just trying to, like, wrap my head around that. Like, you're telling me that you have hired an associate pastor for your church to minister to your people, to equip your people, and the man is not baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he said, no. And I said, you're telling me he doesn't speak in tongues, he doesn't understand all the things we understand that the Holy Spirit does in our lives as a result of being immersed and submerged in the Holy Spirit? And he goes, no. And he said, you know, it's really not that important to me that people pray in tongues. And when he said that, you know, I wish I carried one of them big thick Bibles so I could whack him in the head, you know. I was like, what are we doing, man? But I understand a lot of people have kind of moved away from it because it's, you know, it's gotten a bad rap. People think it's weird. It's not really the coolest thing. And we're trying to make everything more palatable to people. But I tell you, Jesus didn't come to make things palatable. And the early church did not turn the world upside down by being cool. They turned the world upside down because they went out in the world and they acted like Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, this world needs Jesus. And they don't need the toned down cool version. They need the real Jesus, the one who went about healing the sick, casting out the devil. Because I've noticed there's a lot of casting out needs being, you know, to be done. We just left that like somewhere over there somewhere. And the way that we as believers enter into many of those things is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that is praying in tongues. And that whole thing activates in your life this spiritual dimension that you don't have. You don't have just by being saved. Now, is God in you? Absolutely. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Absolutely. But there's a release that comes when the God who's within you comes up on you. There's something different that happens. And the very first thing is you receive power from on high. And it's power to be a witness, to produce some evidence. It's a power. And the more you yield to that, the more evidence you'll have, the more you'll produce. So this is what we're talking about. I just thought I should be up front with you so you didn't think I was kind of playing around trying to slip something in on you. We're talking about praying in tongues. If you don't know what that is, I can do it for you, but we'll do that in a minute. Okay, now, I just want to say to you, again, last week we talked a lot about this, but how, and we talked about it in the terms of Christ being formed in us. I want to talk more today about how is Christ formed in us? What's this process like? How is he formed in us as we pray in other tongues? So turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12. And let's just talk about some of the things that are happening. This is, I'm going to tell you, not in any way exhaustive. I don't have time to exhaust this. I could honestly, if I was still doing all the midweek booth services, this is something I'd do probably for 6 months. But I just got these two Sundays. Next week, Matt will be back. I got to let him say something. So we'll have him speak next Sundays. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. We've talked about this. Presenting your bodies, a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, Jesus gave himself his body. I'm telling you, boy, did he give his body for you. It's just reasonable that you give your body for him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Oh, how I long to be transformed. How I long for you to be transformed. That you'd be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, or you may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want you to know, verse 1 and verse 2, they go together. They're not two separate thoughts. Verse 1 talks about yielding your body, and verse 2 talks about you being transformed as your mind is renewed. The yielding of your body, the presenting of your body, begins the process. There won't be transformation if you don't offer your body first. I mean, obviously, you have to show up with your body to hear the word. You have to, like, open a Bible and read it. You know, that requires your body doing something. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. This presenting, I want you to, when you see this word present, I mean, obviously, you know, you present yourself to God, but it's more than just like, hey, I'm here. It's coming to God in a place where you're yielded to him. The Bible uses a lot of words, and the New Testament's full of this language, that you would yield yourself, humble yourself, submit yourself. So the idea is that you would place yourself, and the Bible even says that we're no longer slaves of sin, but we're slaves of righteousness. Boy, that's a stiff word. We don't like to think we're slaves of anything. The thing is, we're voluntary slaves of righteousness, because we can rebel against that any moment, any time. You can do what you want to do. It's totally up to you what you do. What I'm challenging you to do is to yield yourself to God, because it is so far better than you living your own life for yourself in the way you were going to do it. We've talked many times about how Jesus came to give us the abundant life, and there's a course of life that man follows. There's a natural course of life. When you were born in this earth, you started a trajectory of life based on who you are, where you're from, all the, you know, things that make you you. You started a natural trajectory of life. And that life is the life that most people live. But that is not the life Jesus came to give us. He came to give us a life that doesn't follow that normal trajectory. It's a life that is high, over and above, extraordinary. And I don't mean just it's a life with a bunch of, you know, comforts and blessings. I'm talking about a life that is significant, that really matters. A life that goes way beyond what any normal human life could ever be. It's a life that matters now and for eternity. And then it's an extraordinary life. Well, of course, if you live like Jesus, life's going to be different, isn't it? I mean, y'all think about it. When they nailed him on the cross, that wasn't the first time they tried to kill him. Over and again, they tried to capture him. They tried to kill him. There was one time they were pushing him off a cliff. And when's the last time somebody gathered together a band and tried to push you off a cliff? I dare say none of us had that happen this week. Unless you were in a drug deal that went bad. And if you were, thank God you're here today. But other than that, you probably, yeah. There's two guys over here. Yeah, I'm glad we got out of that one. But, you know, Think about it. He had kind of a radical life going on. People would set him up all the time, try to trick him into something so they could, so they could put him in jail and all the things that they did for him. And he never went to the cross. He never suffered at their hand until he finally willingly gave himself up to it. So, I mean, they had nothing on him. But you think about the life he lived. It was radical. Now, I know, maybe you came to church here today and you're just, you're ticking it off. You watched the Falcons win last night. And you thought, I need to show up at the house of the Lord because I prayed them through and wanted to show up today to give God praise for what he did for my team last night. And maybe that's kind of where you are. And if you are, you're at a pretty low place, spiritually speaking. Hope today we can kind of build you up from there. But if that's what got you here, listen up. We're going to give you something better in life. But transformation in us takes place as we yield to God. And it's almost incomprehensible, the fact that God has given us a free will and we can choose. The devil didn't give you a free will. He came to usurp authority over your will, and he doesn't give you a lot of choice in life. But God has given us a free will, and we can choose him or not. We can choose his ways or not. You can choose to have Christ formed in you or not. It's up to you. So I'm telling you today, choose to be transformed. Choose to have Christ be formed in you. But here, he's saying here, we do it by presenting our bodies. Now, turn over to James chapter 3, and I want to show you how this connects with what we were talking about last week and what we've been talking about. James chapter 3 and verse 2. This is a passage of scripture you should do some steeping in this week. James chapter 3. This is a good place. Eddie was talking about steeping earlier. Matt talked about it on Wednesday night, soaking in the word. This is some good word to soak in. Verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many things." There you go. Some of us, that's your testimony. I stumble in many things. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man," or a mature man, "able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they're very large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." Meaning this little tongue of yours can do the same amount of damage that a little match can do to an entire forest. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and it's in my mouth. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And, oh my goodness, it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Boy, that is not good news. This is the problem. Most problems, they just come down to you and your mouth. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
So it's the deal. So, really, you take that and you pair it with what Proverbs chapter 18 says. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue," and a whole bunch of other verses in the Bible. You see that our tongues are super important. What we let come out of our mouth, what we say, the words we form. It's the control center. Our mouths, our words, our tongues, it's the control center of our whole body. And not just our body, but our whole lives. It all comes from right here. It sets the course for us, for our lives. Your lives are following a course that your mouth is taking it. Your mouth, and we know these things. We've talked about this. Your whole life is determined by that. But here's what I want you to see. When you pray in other tongues, when you allow the Holy Spirit, and what's happening when you pray in tongues is the Holy Spirit who's inside you, He lives in your spirit, which is down, the Bible says, in the belly of man. So the Holy Spirit is in here. He inhabits us here. What you're doing is, instead of speaking words that are inspired by your head, that come out of your reasoning, your understanding, things you know, instead of coming from here, words are actually coming up from within you. Now, they're your words in the sense that you're the one making them. But they're also His words in the sense that He's the one inspiring them. And it comes up within you, and they're not naturally known words. They're not words that you and me know, like the English words that most of us speak. There are other words. The Bible says they're tongues of men and angels. So some of them are words. Sometimes when you speak in tongues, you may be speaking a language that is a known language to other people. You just don't know it. Or you may be speaking some ancient language. You know, if you study languages at all, linguistics, you find that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of languages initially. Well, at the Tower of Babel, there were a whole bunch of languages. But those have been, you know, whittled down now. Well, whittled down until we don't have that many now. Because we've lost many languages. Some languages are being lost right now. So they've been lost. So, but there's those kind of languages. And then there's the languages they speak in heaven. Angelic languages, other languages. Now, I don't think that it's really worth our time pursuing what language are we speaking when we're speaking in tongues, because we don't understand it. And what difference does it really make? So that's not where the point. The point is that it's supernatural. And the Holy Spirit has given us utterance in these languages that are supernatural. And they're coming up within us, inspired. They're His words. But again, I said this last week, here's using the breath that's coming from our lungs that we just sang about. And that breath is flowing over our vocal cords. And it's coming up, so that gives sound to it, and then it comes through our mouth, and our mouth uses our teeth and our lips and our tongue and all that to form sounds. It comes out. And I'm going to tell you, it's a little bit odd that you're speaking in a language that you don't know. It's odd. I admit that. It's a little weird. It's strange. And I think sometimes people fail to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have the fullness of their prayer language because it's just so weird. And you want to control it. And you want to have it make sense to you. And it doesn't. But that's necessary. Because if you're controlling it, then it's of you. And you don't want it to be of you. You want it to be of Him. Now, when you're praying in the Spirit, let's go back to what James says. James says that your tongue is the control center. It turns your whole life. So all day long, I talk in my known language, talking out of my head, my mind, my own will, talking from my emotional place, you know. So my tongue is spouting off my stuff. But when I present myself to Him and I yield my tongue to Him, I'm yielding my whole body to Him, because my tongue is the control center of my whole body and my whole life. So when I'm praying in tongues, you talk about the ultimate yielding of yourself to God. Because I'm putting myself over. I can't make these words up. I'm yielding to Him, and He's speaking His words through me. So in essence, I'm yielding my life and allowing Him to speak His words up through me. Boy, that is awesome. And that is the very beginning of what chapter 12 of Romans says in verse 2, where it says, you'll be transformed. The beginning of transformation is in yielding yourself to Him. And there's no better way to yield to Him than to speak in other tongues. So I'm yielding my life to Him as I speak in tongues. And that's opening the door and making way for Him to work in me, to change me and transform me. Do y'all see that? So that's what you're doing. So Frank, while you're praying an hour, made me think, could you not tarry an hour? Isn't that what Jesus said to the disciples in the garden? It can be hard on the flesh, guys. You know, this week we've been praying. We met starting on Monday, started praying at Monday at 6 o'clock. It was a whole bunch of people here. We had more than 70 different people here this week praying. It's awesome. That's pretty good, y'all. Good for you. But it's hard. You know, I'd look around the room sometimes and I'd see people and they're kind of struggling. It's hard. It's hard on the flesh because your flesh, it wants to go on social media. Because there is a cat video that has just been posted by your cousin and we got to see it. And then we got to say something clever and send it on, you know, to the guy we work with because he likes cat videos too. I got to do that and y'all trying to make me pray. So it's hard. I understand. I like cat videos as well as the next guy. But the cat video's got to wait because I got to yield myself to God because I want to be transformed because I want Jesus to be formed in me. You see? So got to let the cat wait. Nothing wrong with the cat. Cute kitty, kitty, kitty. But I got to put that aside because the kitty, kitty, kitty isn't going to transform me. So there is that part. It's hard. It's kind of hard on the flesh to present myself to God and pray in tongues. But I tell you, there's great rewards. I tell you, the kitty can't give you the rewards that transformation can give you. So that's all part of it. So when I yield my tongue to Him by praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm in essence yielding my whole life. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't have time to tell you the benefits of yielding your life to God, but they are numerous. They're really immeasurable. Honestly. And they have nothing, nothing that will compare. Nothing will compare to the benefits of yielding your life to God. So that's one great thing. But as I do that, you see how transformation can happen. You see how He can begin to work in me to form Christ in me as I yield myself to Him in a way that doesn't happen as I just sort of walk around through my life, you know, like, oh yeah, Christ being formed in me. I'm going over here, do this, go over here and do this, you know, yeah. Christ being formed in me. No, when I stop and I yield myself to God and yield my life by allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through me, that's just giving Him the first place in me, and I'm yielding myself to Him. Boy, that just opens this reservoir of God's power to flow in my life and to bring change. You want some change? I think this is the time of year where we all go, boy, we should make some changes. I'm going to just tell you one little thing here. You can't make changes. Not real changes. Not the kind you really need to make. You need transformation. You don't just need a little change. So that happens by the power of God as we yield to Him. So that's one thing. Now, I read this verse last week. Let's flip over there. 1 Jude 1. We only got one chapter in Jude, so it's pretty easy to find it. If you can get to Jude, you can find the first chapter. Right here, we're going to see there are two really critical parts in your development as Christ is being formed in you. And right here in Jude, it addresses both of them. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up. We talked about this last week, how there's this edifying process. An edifice is being formed. God's building this structure within you. You remember that? So build yourselves up. Founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher. You want to make progress? Praying in the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week. And then verse 21. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. I tell you, there are two critical parts of your development in Christ. And one of them is learning to live by faith. Because that's how we receive from God. Everything in your life in relation to God happens through faith. You're trusting in Him. You're leaning on Him. You're relying on Him. You being convinced that He's real, that His word is true, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That trust, that's what verse 20 is talking about. As we pray in tongues, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. So you will begin as you pray in tongues. You'll begin to live by faith in a greater way, in a greater degree, to a greater measure. You'll live by faith. But then verse 21, here's the other critical part of your development. Walking in love. Because this is the great commandment, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, look, forget all the other laws and all the other rules. If you'll just do this, it'll take care of everything. Just love. And here it is. Jude is connecting praying in the Holy Spirit from verse 20 to guarding and keeping yourselves in the love of God in verse 21. There's a big connection between you praying in tongues and your love walk. Now, there's two sides to your love walk. The first side is receiving God's love. And I have to tell you, when you pray in the Spirit, you receive God's love. All week I was over here praying. I didn't leave here once where I didn't feel God's manifested presence on me. I felt His peace. I've got heads nodding. You feel Him envelop you with His presence. And you just know He loves you. Just something about it. I mean, I can tell you all day, God loves you. Jesus loves you. Smile. You know, I can wear the t-shirt. I can put the bumper sticker on. But there's nothing like you experiencing His love. And that's what Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, that you would know and experience for yourself the love of God. It's not enough for me to tell you God loves you. I want you to experience it. And as you pray in tongues and yield yourself to Him, the more you yield yourself to Him, you cannot yield yourself to God without Him manifesting His love to you. Because it's who He is. The words you're speaking are words of love because they're God's words. So they're coming up and it'll just begin to flow in you. Am I right? How many of you, when you were here this week, you said, yeah, that happened to me. The love of God just began to flow. So you just feel it. It comes maybe as peace, as rest, as joy. For some, you're weeping. One night, I just cried most of the night. Just the preciousness of God in my life. So it comes in all kind of ways, but it's His love. But then the other side of it is that same love that's been poured out in me, I pour that out in others. And, you know, I can tell you, I have tried to love people with the best of them. Am I the only one? I've spent a lot of time trying to love people. I'm not very good at it. Like, I just get tired of it. And, I mean, my actions may be loving, but you should know what's going on in here. It ain't loving at all. But there's a difference between trying to love and letting God's love flow through you. And see, if I can pray in tongues for an hour and let God's love words flow up through me, then it's interesting because I leave here after experiencing His love and I want to love other people. He's cleared me up, cleaned me out, got rid of some things, loved on me, and so I got some love for you. Come on, let me love on you. It's good. And not only that, then here I leave out of here and I go down and, you know, go over to the store and I'm getting a cart and somebody grabs the cart I was getting and instead of going, you know, I can go, yes, here, let me help you. It's just what flows out of me instead of me going, you better do right, Susie, you better do right. That was a naughty thought. You shouldn't think like that. Don't do that. See, I can't live that way. I'm a really sorry Christian if it's based on what I can do. I'm just being honest with you. If it's up to me, Lord knows, I'm done. But it's not up to me. I just yield to Him and, whoo, He makes me look good. He does His thing through me. Hallelujah. Two critical parts. Now, here's another one. Here's another way that Christ is being formed in us. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, when Jesus was talking to the believers before He left, one version of the Great Commission, He said, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In John chapter 14, verse 12, He says, the works that I do, you shall do also, and even greater works you'll do. So it's pretty clear in the Bible that God's plan is for every believer to do the same works that Jesus did. And a lot of the works that Jesus did were works that we would call operations of the Holy Spirit. First, I know I'm throwing out a whole bunch of stuff. If you have a Bible, one day you can look this up and go through it. I don't have time to read all these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul outlines 9 different operations of the Spirit. And we call them gifts of the Spirit. Things like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. You ever heard of these? There's others. Okay, so there's 9 of these operations of the Spirit. Now, those are for believers. Those are for you. Those are not just for a few special people set aside. Those are for believers. You can operate in all of those. God wants you to, because you'll need to in order to manifest Jesus. And as Christ is being formed in you, you'll find yourself flowing more and more in those gifts. Now, here's the deal. This is how this connects with the whole praying in tongues thing. The more you pray in other tongues, the more those gifts flow in your life. It's just, I'm telling you, that's the deal. That's just the truth. The more you pray in other, it seems that your private prayer language, what we call praying in the Spirit, which differs from the public use of tongues, is listed in 1 Corinthians 12, but I don't have time to teach on all that. But every believer speaks in new tongues. That's what Mark 16 said. Every believer will speak in new tongues. As you speak in tongues, it seems to open the door for all the other gifts to flow. You know, right now in our country, a number of states have legalized marijuana. Well, marijuana, some of you are hooping it up. Woo! Get to Georgia. Lord help you. Like you need another mind-altering substance. Well, anyway. Praise God. Here we go. But, you know, marijuana is known commonly as a gateway drug. And that's one of the big arguments against it. Is that in and of itself, it might not be so harmful, but it opens the door to other drugs. That seems to be the drug that people start with. I could have some of you testify, but I won't. Yeah, that happened to me. No, I don't need that testimony today. Thanks. But you know it's true. And so it seems that that opens the door. Well, in that same way, praying in tongues seems to be the gateway into the realm of the Spirit and the supernatural. That and I could prove it to you from the Scripture, but I don't have time. But let me just tell you, if you know anything about it, you'll understand it. And just read your Bible and ask God to show you that if you need to. But as you pray in the Holy Spirit, and it makes sense, as you release Him to flow through your mouth, doesn't it make sense that He would bring with Him His gifts? And they would begin to flow through your life. The first time I ever prophesied was as I prayed in tongues, just by myself. The first time I ever had tongues and interpretation of tongues was just as I prayed in the Spirit. But then, and not only that, other gifts. By the way, I've had great testimonies from people who have been coming to prayer these nights. I've had great testimonies of things that have been happening with people. So, but I'll just tell you my testimony. So, I've been showing up here for prayer. And so Thursday we had prayer. And then I left here and I had a meeting. Had a meeting with another couple that are in ministry. And so I went to that meeting and just meeting with them. And we were talking about various things. And in the middle, you know, we're just kind of catching up. I hadn't talked to them in a while. We're catching up. And right in the middle of us talking to them, I asked them a question. And it was from out of nowhere. I don't really know what was going on. I'm just talking. And the next thing I know, I said, well, this is what I said. I said, is something going on with your daughter? And I called her name. Has she left her husband and has she moved in with you? And I just did that like this. I said, is something going on with, does she left her husband? Is she living with you? And I'm meeting with them and they look at me and they said, how did you know that? And Matt looked at me like, why didn't you tell me? And the honest answer is I had absolutely no idea. And I was sitting there wondering why I said that myself. I was going, I didn't know that. It just came up from inside of me. It was a word of knowledge. It wasn't, thus saith the Lord Most High. Bow your heads. The Lord is, yeah, going to speak up in here. No. It just came up like questions. And I realized, and they're like, how do you know my bit? What's going on? We weren't telling anybody about that. And so we were able to minister to them. It was just really good. And that it really, really helped them that we knew and we were able to pray with them and talk with them and been praying for them and encouraging them through this kind of a tough situation. And, you know, I realized though, as I was looking back on that came out of the blue to me. I didn't know. Matt's like, when did you know that? I'm like, I knew it when I said it. That was all news to me. And I realized how many times in my life that very thing has happened. And in fact, Nate and Kristen tease me because it seems like I like to drill people with questions. And I do, but it's amazing. And I realize now it's actually the word of knowledge And I haven't necessarily recognized it as such. But I will ask people questions like that seem out of the blue. And I don't even know why I'm asking them this. And all of a sudden, all this stuff will come tumbling out. They'll be like, how did you know that? And I was just thinking about it. This happened to me. I remember this happening as far back as when I was in high school. I remember plainly there were times I was dealing with people, you know, just talking to people. And all of a sudden, I would know, bam. I would just ask them something. And they're like, how did you know that? And I'd be like, I'd just smile because, you know, I wanted to look like I was really with it. But I didn't know how I knew it. I was like, oh, and then, I mean, I could give you case after case of times that this happened in my life. It's a word of knowledge. But it would come as a result of praying in the Spirit. And I remember this. Boy, you talk about helping you as a parent. I remember praying for my kids one day, and I was just praying along, and then I was just praying in the Spirit for a while. And the next thing I know, I'm talking to one of my daughters. And she's just talking. There is nothing going on. You understand? We're just talking, chatting away. And she mentioned this girl that I didn't know. I hadn't met her, just a name of person. You know how your kids just mention names in passing? Just mention the same. And when she said that name, I looked at her and I said, is that girl doing so-and-so and so-and-so? And my daughter just stood there. And you could tell she was debating whether or not to lie or not, you know? And she was, because what I was saying was kind of serious. And she looked at me, she goes, how do you know that? And I'm like, and then it dawned on me, how did I know that? I'm like, but then, you know, of course, I had it cool, like, you know, mamas. But I didn't know that. It just came up from within me. And just that conversation I was able to have with my daughter, it changed things dramatically, and it saved my daughter from some mess. It's a word of knowledge. But those things flow as a result of praying in other tongues. That's how you get into that. It'll change things in your life. It'll change what you see and what you do, and all the gifts, working in miracles, all the gifts, they flow that way. Now, the final one I want to mention here is this, and let's go over to Romans chapter 8. The final thing, this is my last shot at you, I'm going to keep you a few minutes. If you got to leave, I know you're going out to pray in tongues because you're so inspired. Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to tell you, we've been reading, Kate and Kata, we started this session's reading through the book of Romans, and we've been reading through the book of Romans. I'm going to tell you what, Romans starts out just talking about sin. It's depressing. I mean, there's some bad stuff going on. I mean, I don't know what was going on at the church at Rome. I wasn't there, you know, looking around. But Paul, he was starting to get into it, and it really sounds a lot like what we deal with here in our day. Some bad stuff. And then the rest of, you know, you get into the middle chapters, 5, 6, 7, 8, starts talking about how we're free from sin. Boy, those are some good chapters in Romans, being free from the dominion of sin. But I want to read in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Now, let's just be honest. Don't raise your hand, but just think about it. Have you ever struggled with sin? Well, of course you have, because you're human. Even Paul said, the thing that I want to do, that I know I should do, I don't do. And the thing I sure don't want to do, next thing I know, I'm doing it. And that was Paul. So how about you? So we all, it might, you know, your sin might look a little different, have a little different name and whatever, but it's all the same thing. It's all sin. It's all what the Bible calls works of the flesh. See, our flesh is not recreated. And our flesh is tied to this world, and this world is broken and fallen and under the curse and the dominion of sin. And so our bodies are tied to that, because they came up out of the earth that fell under the curse. So we have to deal with our bodies. Am I the only one here ever to deal with your body? All right, so we deal with our bodies. But I want you to know that living for God is not about you saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. 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 I'm not going to, no, I'm not, no, 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 no. I did it. Surely I'm not the only one. But that's not at all the plan of God. He didn't just issue the edicts and say, try not to do it. That's what the Old Testament, that's what they had to deal with. In the New Testament, we live under grace, which means He Himself is in us, empowering us and enabling us to overcome sin. Ha, ha, ha. So much better. It's actually possible to live free from sin. So it's not about your willpower. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. So we don't have to live under this dominion of sin. For if you live according to the flesh or the carnal nature, the fleshly nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It goes on to say some things. Now the next verses after this talk about, if you read, keep reading through Romans 8, it talks about the sufferings of living on planet Earth. That, in fact, it goes on to say that all of creation is crying out and groaning to be delivered from this curse that came on the earth. So it's not just you and your flesh. It's all of creation's ready for this thing to be over with. But then we just keep on reading and we get down to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Here's some verses. Likewise, the Spirit. You remember how by the Spirit we're going to put to death the deeds of the body? Y'all remember that? Well, verse 26, and those, by the way, those deeds of the body, that's the sinful nature, the lust of the flesh, all the things that you know in Christ, according to the Word, you're not supposed to be doing, the stuff that the flesh comes up, you know, with to do. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. King James says infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's talking about and describing praying in other tongues. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So see, here's the deal. I'll just say it to you. You and me are weak in ourselves. Our flesh is certainly weak. You've proven that. That word weakness means infirmities, like the King James translates it. It means feeble. It means incapable. Lacking strength and lacking capability. That's all part of the weakness that we experience. Honestly, in ourselves, we are weak when it comes to sin. You, yourself, dealing with your own flesh, dealing with the lust that you deal with, all that, you're weak. I don't have to have a testimony service and let you tell us how weak you have proven yourself to be. You are familiar with this. Am I right? So there's that weakness. Now what do? We just live in that state of weakness and like, well, the Lord knows I can't help myself. Well, the Lord does know you can't help yourself. That's why He's not expecting you to be the help. And that's why it says in verse 26, the Spirit is here to help because you can't help yourself. So the Spirit helps. How does He help? Well, I can tell you this. One way He helps is as you pray in the Holy Spirit, He begins to build something in you. And so you become stronger on the inside. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to be strong in the Spirit. And when you're strong in the Spirit, the flesh is weaker in the sense that it can't do what it wants to do as easily because you're stronger in the Spirit. I mean, some of you can testify, I have come out of some bad stuff because I've gotten stronger spiritually and I've left behind those things that were so easy for me before to fall prey to, but now I'm like free from them. Am I the only one that's free? Many of you, you're free. So you come out, but I'm going to tell you, you yourself can't bring you out, but as you pray in the Holy Spirit, yielding, remember what we talked about when we started? You're yielding, God words are coming up out of you. There's a work that's happening in your life, and the Holy Spirit's making you capable, making you able. He's strengthening you. He's the Spirit of grace. He's bringing forth that grace in your life that enables you to overcome sin. And not only that, you know, this word we started talking about at the beginning, this transformation. when Christ is being formed in you, it's not like you're nothing and then suddenly he builds something. No, the reality is you're a mess. And he has to take the mess and form Christ out of the mess. So part of the renovation is digging out the stuff that doesn't belong. Any of y'all watch home renovation shows ever? I like to watch home renovation shows sometimes just when I need a mindless moment. And so watching that, and it's so interesting how much money people pay for demolition. To demolish. They'll pay $13,000 to demolish. Demolition can be hard work. Well, part of what's happening as we're praying in the Spirit is there are things being demolished in you. There are strongholds being demolished. There are strong, sinful tendencies in your life that are being demolished and cleaned out. Just as you are making these mindless syllables. They're being cleaned up and cleaned out as you yield to Him. That's the Spirit of God's working in there and He's pulling these things out and tearing them down. You're yielding to Him and allowing His power to come in and work in you, tear things out. So He's building up and He's tearing down all at the same time, tearing down what doesn't belong, building up what does belong. It's this process that's happening. It doesn't happen in a moment, y'all. I'm not telling you, oh, y'all come to prayer tomorrow night at 6 o'clock and He'll tear out all the sinful works in your life and He'll build Christ in you and you'll walk out and you'll be a brand new person. And I wish it happened like that. It's a process. This transformation is a process. But I tell you, if you'll stay with it, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what will happen. There'll be a transformation. Those things that are in there will be torn out. Now, I just want to give you a little advice, and I get this. I hope this is okay. Chris, you put this on Facebook. I hope it's okay. Chris is 6 months sober. That's awesome, man. Oh, man, that's awesome. But he put a quote on Facebook that I saw, and he said, you can't spend all your energy, and I'm totally paraphrasing it and completely butchering it, but here's what my version of what he put on Facebook is. You can't spend all your energy not doing it. You can't spend all your energy going, I'm not going to do it. No, can't. You have got to put your energy into something that is building, something that's growing, into developing something in your life. Your life cannot be about, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's got to be about, this is what I'm going to do. And I'm giving myself to this. Because see, when we're in an addiction or when we're in this sin cycle, we have given ourselves to something. But you got to give yourself to something else. And a really good thing to give yourself to is praying in the Spirit. And if you will give yourself to that, because in essence, you're giving yourself to God. And as you do that, see, it's not just you in yourself, your natural energy. It's supernatural happenings going on. And you're giving yourself, you're yielding, presenting, submitting, humbling yourself. You're giving yourself to God. And as you do that, and He prays through you, He's working in you. So it's not just you resisting. It's actually the root being torn out of your life. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had roots torn out of your life. And He wants to tear them all out. And He wants to build this marvelous structure that will be Christ in you.